Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. Well, you should be looking forward to our next issue. It will include my interview with the wonderful Nick Bantock, author of the Griffin and Sabine series. What a great guy. Had some fascinating things to say about writing and creativity and intuition. And anyway, so look for that next week. And of course, we're funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, who have been supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. We will be having our writers conference, our yearly writers conference in July, the end of July, July 28th to the 31st. The keynote speaker will be the Amazon best-selling author, Bob Dagoni, Robert Dagoni, for those of you who only know him as an author. And well, I'll be teaching a memoir class. I'll be all kinds of stuff. Check it out, pnwa.org. Well, who said there's no second chances in life? Not me. Today's guest, Zen Cryer DeBrook, you may remember about a month ago I had her on, and things went haywire. And we were in the middle of a fantastic conversation. So I had to have her back. I had to have her back, not just out of politeness, but because I had to finish the conversation. Now, Zen is, for those who don't know, is the author of Your Inner GPS. Your Inner GPS. I'll tell you what, writers, if anybody needs to follow their inner GPS, it's writers. There's no other way to write a book, in my opinion. But she's so Zen is also an internationally renowned teacher, speaker, and coach whose programs have helped people all over the world transform their personal and business lives for the better. And she's here to talk about finding your life intuitively, if we can call it that. Zen, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be back.
Well, it's my pleasure. Let's let's bring these people up to speed a little bit about your inner GPS. Your inner GPS, you discovered this from a teacher I'm familiar with too and a big fan of, Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks. Is that where you first heard about the term, the inner GPS?
Yes, yes. They call it the internal guidance system, which is also what I've referred to it over the years as, is your IGS or internal guidance system, yeah.
And this is something that you come from the world of business, yeah?
Yes, I do. I was a technology CEO for years.
Okay. And so you come from the world of business, and talk about when you first began to say, there's another way to make decisions besides the sort of strategic, intellectual, mechanical way we sometimes make decisions.
Well, yes. So when I first heard this, I got a cassette tape back in 1993 with Esther Hicks on it. And when I first heard her talk about an expansion and contraction in the center of the body that lets you know if your thoughts are in alignment and moving you towards happiness and what you want to create, or away from your thoughts occurring, you away from what's going to create happiness and your life that you want, I knew that I had felt that. And the cool thing was I immediately recognized that when I felt the constriction or the tight feeling in my body, I was on the verge of self-sabotage. And I couldn't stop it. No matter how many little different tactics or tricks or whatever, I couldn't stop myself from rolling down the road towards a blow-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I did was I started researching all her stuff and trying to figure out if there was a training or a system or how to, because I couldn't seem to figure it out. And there wasn't. And I looked and looked, and I didn't find really anybody that could help me with my mind and getting it on a different track. So I sat down and created my own system of how to work with this internal guidance system and discovered that every person has it. I've been teaching it for 15 years now. Every person is factory installed when they're born, and we just don't know how to use it. We most people get it right about 30% of the time here and there, but lots of the time we have it wrong. We have it backwards.
Yeah. You know, I think a big part of the reason people don't know, understand how to use it is there is a kind of conditioning, and not to harp too much on schools, but there is a kind of conditioning that begins when we're young, which is asks us to look outside of ourselves for the right and wrong answers. you know, for teachers and parents and even our peers, you know, are we going to fit in? Are we liked? And there's such a looking outside of ourselves, and it seems reinforced again and again and again. It's almost like the message is you don't have everything you need. It needs to be confirmed from outside of you. You need to be taught, shown. And even though you're teaching people, you're actually teaching them that they have everything they need.
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm teaching
right?
people. But I do think, right. I think it's a normal human condition. You know, if you burn your hand on a stove, the stove is bad, right?
Right.
So, because we're so physical and we don't realize that, we're just beginning to realize, I should say, of what a rich, powerful inner world we have and how much control we have of the outside world from the inside out. And so, you know, we begin to think that when if we feel bad inside, that a situation or a person is making us feel that way, when in reality, it's how we're thinking about the situation.
Right.
So,
right. So
yeah, yes. I think it's kind of a natural human condition that we're now getting to rise above and start to look at it a very different way.
So you just said something I think is incredibly profound that you just dashed off from the cuff, which is that when something is happening, we think it is making me feel bad. But the truth is, and I agree 100.01% with this, that mm-hmm. it's never what's happening. It's only what we think about what's happening, which is interesting, I should say, to all you writers who are listening. You know that it's not, you're never writing about what is happening. You're writing about what your characters feel about what's happening, and what they feel depends on what they think about it. Does that make
sense? Exactly. Yes, exactly.
This is what we do.
Totally accurate. Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. So let me ask you this. So you started, what made you decide you could teach it, that you, Zen, could teach it? Why you, and what made you feel that you, this was something you wanted to do and that you were up to the task of?
Well, it happened by accident. It wasn't something that I, you know, got called to do it. What happened was, is I had been running a successful technology company in San Francisco, and I had used my internal guidance system to do that. And then when the technology crash happened, even though we were really well positioned, it was just too big of an economic collapse in the world. And
right.
so I found that first I got devastated for a while, but then I realized
right.
I have this internal guidance system, and if it got me there, it could get me out of where we were at, and the company
yeah.
still exists. But what happened was I felt calm, cool, and collected. I created a frame of work inside my head that this was my experiential MBA, and that it took
yeah.
a heck of a gal to get herself into $1.2 million worth of personally secured debt at the age of 30, and that girl still exists, and they didn't give you the money because they didn't trust you. They gave it to you because they believed in you, and I used that opening is what it created in me, and that frame of reference inside my mind to follow my IGS step by step on out. And my friends who are also in technology, I mean, it was a devastating time. Everyone around us was
yeah.
being laid off. Everyone was finances were collapsing. Houses were being taken. I mean, it was a really incredibly difficult time. And they said to me, either give us the drugs that the doctors, you know, give us the doctor who's prescribing the drugs, or tell us what's going on because you are okay. You look like you're sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, you look like...
Yeah.
So I said, well, I have this little thing I use, and it's the internal guidance system. And they were the ones that were said, tell me about it. You know, and
yeah,
I started meeting
yeah.
in my living room on a Saturday afternoon and showing people it. And honestly, it took me a good amount of time, like years, 6-7 years, to really master what I had mastered inside my body to help someone else master it inside
yeah.
theirs, because
yeah.
it's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
It works the same, but everyone's mind is different.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, that's how it got started, and I never dreamed I'd be doing this.
And you learn more about it when you teach it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's really
yeah.
kind of a cool thing. I don't know what you think about consciousness and oneness, but the more people I
think
teach
about
it
a lot is what I think about it. I'm sorry.
Well, the more I teach it, the easier it is
yeah.
for the next person to get it. It's been
yeah.
amazing.
Oh.
It was really hard
yeah.
in the beginning, but now it's like boom, 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 boom. The hardest concepts inside this work, they're just – lapping them up and doing well and becoming masterful.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And, you know, by the way, listeners, inner GPS, sometimes people feel this kind of stuff gets a little woo-woo, whatever that stupid phrase means. But to me, this kind of stuff, spirituality, if it's not practical, I think it was Louise Hay who said, I don't know, maybe she said it, maybe, but if it's not practical, it's not spirituality. So this is as sort of as, to me, it's like learning how to ride a bike, learning how to use this stuff. It's not just hoping for good results. It's learning how to use the thing that is trying to bring you to the results you want.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. You know, because I believe that hope is a fallacy. Hope is delusional, to be honest. But faith, but faith resides in the body. And there's a big difference between a hope, which is like a wish, oh, I hope it works out. You know, that can get you into a lot of trouble, versus feeling and having a sense of opening and knowing in your body that's unshakable. And that's faith. And faith is a core thing that we need to have, especially as writers. I had a hard time getting the faith up to write a book.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a writer. And and all along the way, these doubts come up and, oh, I'm going to sound stupid. And there's all these beliefs we have about nobody's going to want to read this, and there's all kinds of craziness in there, but you close when you have things that are against your purpose, and you open when you do, when you're on your purpose. And so that's faith.
Yes, and my three tenets of fearless writing, number two is faith, and the way I define it is when you write a book, whether it's your inner GPS or a Harlequin romance or a coming-of-age memoir or novel, the only assurance you get that the book is worth sharing is that you're interested in it. You know, that's all you get. That's all Emily Dickinson got. That's all Shakespeare got. That's all Stephen. That's all anybody gets. I'm interested. And if that's enough for you, and you know what interest feels like, you know what it feels like to be interested and care about your subject. And when you let that be enough, that's when you're going. And that's just faith, because there's no proof. There's no proof. Yeah. There's no proof that anyone's going to like it. Even all those people you taught, that's still not proof that they're going to like your book, that someone who's never met you is going to like your book.
That's true. That's true.
I had to find the faith. All right. So now you can actually do a little bit of teaching on this on air. Yeah. In a small little dose of it to help us understand physically what this thing is you're talking about. Yes.
Yes. So I have a little exercise that's that I can walk everybody through. All you have to do is sit down and put your feet on the floor and your hands in your lap.
All right, I'm doing this.
Okay.
I'm doing it. Got it.
Do you pace like I do when I talk?
Yes, but now I'm in my chair.
Good.
I'm nice
I am too. I just sat down too. All right. So go ahead and put your hands in your lap and your feet on the floor and close your eyes. And put away anything that's distracting you. Just sit and be with us for a minute. It only takes a couple minutes. And make sure your eyes are closed. And then feel your feet. Notice, bring your awareness to the bottom of your feet. Notice they might feel a little tingly or warmth, just a sensation there. And then next, bring your awareness to the palms of your hands. Once again, as you focus on them, there might be a little energy there. And then listen to the room around you, whatever sound is there. And the key to this is paying attention to your feet and your hands and the listening all at once. It quiets your mind and brings you into your body to feel your IGS. Now I'm going to give two sentences and just let them float through your mind like a cloud does through the sky. And notice any sensation between your throat and your upper solar plex area. So feet, hands, listening. Here's the first sentence. I do not have an internal guidance system. I do not have an internal guidance system. Notice any sensation between your throat and your solar plexus. And then go back to feeling your feet, your hands, and listening to the room around you. And the second sentence is, I do have an internal guidance system. I do have an internal guidance system. Notice any sensations between your throat and your solar plexus. All right, wiggle your toes, open your eyes. How was that for you?
Excellent. All right, that was great. And I will tell you, can I tell you what I felt?
Yes, I want to know what you felt for the first and the second.
So for the first one, what I felt in my sort of my chestish area, you know, which is where I usually, that's where I write. That's kind of where my attention resides when I write. I felt I don't want to use your language. The language you use is closing. It felt like It was a tightness. It's the tightness I feel when I'm trying to force a word, when I'm writing.
Okay, great, great.
You know, there was a kind of like a. And I'm not particularly invested in that first statement, and so I didn't feel it, but I just felt that closing. And then the second one was that expansiveness.
Perfect. So yes, what people report, and they verbalize it differently, so I understand that.
Yep.
The first thing, they feel like a lump in the throat or a tightness in the chest, maybe a fluttering, like anxiety in the chest, tightening in the pit of the stomach, right where the solar plexus come together, or it could feel churning. And then when I said the second sentence, I do have an internal guidance system, what people report is they feel like they can suddenly breathe more. They have more air. The tightness goes away. There's sometimes like an upward V sensation, like they've been picked up. The first one, they often report it to be wilting feeling, like a whoo.
Yeah.
And the second one, like an uplifting.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the second one, more energy coming in.
Yeah.
And I call the first constriction closing. Because you got to name it something, so we all, you know, that's why I did.
Yep.
It's something I could
that's a good one. It's
relate
a good one.
To, closing. And then opening is the second one. It's an opening. So those that's, and there's neutral, which is where you're just kind of feeling no particular expansion or contraction. You're just going along. That is also guidance. That's just guidance that you're on track and everything's going fine.
Right. And you know what I like about this? You know what I like about, and it's just beautiful. Good job, Zen. And one of the things I like about the idea of inner guidance is it really
okay. I think he dropped off. I lost somebody.
I think so too. So
right. So let me talk a little bit more until he hops up. Is that work for you, Jeffrey?
Be wonderful and thank you. I'm still in that moment that you just that exercise.
Did you feel it too?
I am still feeling it. Wonderful. It's very much
good.
It's very
I'm so
meditative.
Glad.
Not at the beginning, but the second sentence is.
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful. You know, it's what this is it's literally.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, there he
I'm
is.
I'm back.
You're back. Let me finish up my sentence here. Jeffrey and I did great while you were gone. Literally what this is when you feel the tightening in your body, which also people call it stress, worry, fear, overwhelm, frustration, any of those sensations show up as tight feeling. That means what you're thinking is not true and not going to happen. You're going out of alignment with what's going to have you be successful and happy. And when you feel that release and the expansion, you're opening. It means you're on track. You're in alignment. Your thoughts are carrying you towards what's going to create success and happiness in your life. And it's a system that's constantly operating to support us in having more and more happiness, satisfaction, and success.
It's absolutely wonderful. Thank you, Zen. And now back to the show.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Yes, so this seems to be a reoccurring phenomenon, which I will deal in a later date. What I was saying, brief, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, is that one of the beautiful things about the concept of the inner guidance system and the way you describe it, I think is very helpful, is it really says also there's no wrong answer, really, because you can always come back. You can even if you're led, even if you ignore your GPS, just as you would say on a road as you're driving somewhere, the road is still there waiting for you. You can come back. The inner GPS doesn't abandon you if you ignore it. In fact, it probably only speaks louder.
It does. It speaks louder. That's exactly it. You get more and more of a tightening. I like to think of it as a compass. So if you picture due north as being really, really open, that can feel like ecstatic joy, ecstasy kind of feeling. West could be neutral, which is great. And then deep south, when you feel that, it feels like terror and panic.
Yeah.
Like when you wake up in the middle of the night and you get this feeling about something in your life, that is closing. It feels panicky. And that means that absolutely 100% what you're thinking is not true and not going to happen. But what you're saying is totally true. It just says recalculating as you get away from your thing.
Right.
It'll just keep trying to bring you back to your path. Recalculating again.
That's right.
Okay, we're recalculating again. It's just perfect.
Because one of the biggest fears, I know I went through this, because writers, sometimes we're a little bit perfectionist, maybe just a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things I had to live with that I realized was a false concept is getting it wrong. That you can't, there's no wrong from which you cannot return. Because I've made some very strange choices in my life that have led to all kinds of discomfort and confusion, and yet here I am talking to you. I managed to find my way back. So there is no wrong. There is no, like, end of the opportunities. The roads don't vanish. You can't be so lost that your inner GPS will just say, screw you. You clearly aren't listening. I'm done
true.
With you.
Exactly. It's very, very true. And also another little point to kind of bring up, and you're only moments away from closing. As soon as you realize you're closed, you just find the opening thought,
right,
and
right.
you're back on your path. But the other thing is sometimes the IGS will lead you to what it looks like a mistake. And this is the key. It's not. So, for instance, let's say somebody got really fired up about going to Chinese medicine school. I had a client that did this. And she got about a third of the way through, and all of a sudden she was closing it, finishing any of the courses. Finishing that up with her degree. And she was very confused and felt like she had been led astray, but she got a definite opening to leave school. And literally within a very short period of time, she got offered an opportunity to write a book, like you said, that combined her love of points in Chinese medicine with her bike riding career. She was a champion bike rider. Yeah, and it's for bicyclists, herbs and ointments and everything that they would need in order to keep themselves healthy naturally without medication and drugs.
Yeah.
And that was her career. She didn't need the rest of it.
That is so interesting. You see, you don't know. You know what I had to give up doing Zen was planning my success. I just had to give it up. I never got it right. But when I simply did what was most, I would say most interesting
opening.
And compelling to me at the moment, which is open, which is following that, because the inner GPS doesn't say go here now on this date and you will meet the love of your life or whatever it is. It just says go this direction and you will just trust me, just go this direction and trust me.
Yes. And in fact, most of my greatest success in following my IGS and my successes in my life are things I could never have ever planned. I could have never figured out how to get to where I've been and where I've gone through my mind.
Right. It makes it easier, doesn't it? You can quit wasting all this time trying to schedule your life for the next 10 years of your life.
Exactly. If you follow your openings from opening to opening to opening, then your life will work out to the highest, most exciting, fabulous that could possibly be for you. It's just the way it works.
I love the way the book is written. The chapters are very short for the most part, and you really just break it down into manageable bites, and so it makes it much easier to consume the information. You can read a little bit, take a break, go back, read a little bit more. It's very good. And one of the chapters is, and this one, boy, this just leapt out at me, and it's something I had to become super conscious of recently, which is four terms that often cause closing. So what are those four terms? I think these are terms that writers deal with all the time. Go ahead.
Yes. Should, have to, need to, or must. Those are the things when you've got them in your head, you want to check your IGS. As soon as you hear them out of your mouth or hear them in your head, notice if you're closed, because most likely 85 to 90% of the time, those four words are coming from a deep habitual kind of belief system that isn't serving you in the moment.
Okay.
There are some times when it opens, but most of the time, no.
Right. Should, have to, need to, and must.
Yes.
Should, have to, need to, and must. Yes. I realized I was using should so much. And I was like, and every time I thought of, I'd say, I should do X, Y, or Z. I should set up, schedule another interview. As soon as, for instance, I like doing these interviews, obviously. But as soon as I thought I should do that, I'd think, I don't want to. I would rebel against should, because I so disliked having to do it. And I'd have to re-talk myself and say, well, no, you actually like doing it. What do you mean you should do it? You want to do it. And I realized at that moment how often I was using that word and how often it demotivated me to do the things I actually wanted to do by me sticking that one little word in there.
Exactly. And the thing is you nailed it, is it's turning all those words into desires. So I should do this versus do I really want that or not? Because, somebody can push themselves every day to exercise and not exercerize ever for 30 days, 30 years, doing the shoulds.
Right.
But the second you turn it into a want, well, what do I want? I want an exercise that's fun that I can't wait to get off work and do.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to call into my life. This is actually it sounds like you've studied manifestation and the law of attraction in your life.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the most powerful tool for creating your life. Because it's about finding, when you're in the opening, there's nothing that can't be created through you as long as you desire it.
That's right.
And the key is you don't have to worry. You put out your desires, and then you just stay with the opening, and literally breadcrumb to breadcrumb, you get led to those desires happening.
Yeah.
I have a really great story. Do you mind if I give you a quick one?
No, please.
It's really powerful. So when I started teaching this, I combined it with manifestation. The secret came out about 2 years later, and I thought, I want to meet those people. I just want to meet them and have a conversation with them, because I had a different perspective, the internal guidance system, on manifestation.
Yeah.
And I just let that desire go. And about 3 years later, I was talking to someone, and I said, you know, you need to meet this woman, Lynn Twist. And I got an opening. So I went to meet Lynn, and I'm in her living room and talking, and I was telling her about the internal guidance system and where I wanted to go with it in the world. And she looks at me and she goes, you need to be in the Transformational Leadership Council. And I was like, oh, what's that? And she goes, well, you know, The Secret was filmed there. All the people in The Secret are in that are in that council. And I said, really? So she calls up Jack Canfield. I could have never planned this. This has literally happened. She calls up Inga Canfield, Jack's wife, and says, I want you to have this woman down for the weekend. She needs to talk to you, and I'd like her to be in TLC. The next weekend, I spent at Jack Canfield's house telling him all the stuff I know. And then the next thing I know, I now belong to the Transformational Leadership Council with all the people who did The Secret.
Oh, you see?
So it's like, and those little aha moments, have you ever noticed, just having the I call them musings, you just go, oh, it would be so nice if I got to meet everybody, all those people, and have conversations with them about this. And you let it go, and then you go back to opening to opening to opening to opening, and literally the world conspires to have that happen without an ounce of effort.
That does. And I will tell you, well, I could tell so many stories about that, but I better not because we only have 3 minutes left.
Oh!
I actually have to go shoot another interview as soon as I'm done with this. I'm actually on a bit of a schedule, sadly.
Sorry, well, we'll have a third date.
I would love it because I think this is so important and why I like it, Zen, and I come back to this, but it takes trust. It really does take trust because you have to stop worrying about the future. It really asks you to say, just, it's not the future, it's the next moment. It's not the future, it's the next moment, the next moment, the next moment. It's enough.
Yes.
Just the way you write a book, word by word by word. You don't try and see the whole damn thing all at once.
That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah.
It's
perfect.
Good stuff, Zen. It's
Thank
good
you.
Stuff. All right, we still have 2 minutes, so I want you to answer this question. I didn't get to ask you this last time, but I'm going to ask you now. You just keep answering these kinds of questions all the time anyway, but I'm going to ask it. So here it goes.
Okay.
Finish this sentence. If writing has taught me anything, writing now, writing itself, if writing has taught me anything, it's taught me what?
Not to get too complicated or try to prove my intelligence through a book.
Good. Good answer, Zen. Yes, you're not trying to prove your intelligence.
That's
right. A lot of people do that.
Yeah, and that becomes a boring, academic, yucky, not fun thing to read.
That's right. You write to inspire, not impress.
And be simple.
And be simple.
I think that's the thing that I get the most compliments on about this book is they're like, it's so simple, it's so easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And simple means doesn't mean the ideas are simple. Simple doesn't mean the ideas are shallow. I learned simplicity when I was 17, reading of all people T.S. Eliot, who was, he was the big papa of the modernist movement. But I saw his language was in many ways very simple and yet so effective, and it really taught me. Yes, simple, and let that be enough. Good answer, Zen. Good answer. Well, Zen. Thank you so much. Good luck with this book.
Can I tell your listeners where to go real quick? Can they go to Zen?
Yes, please do.
Website?
Please do.
Okay, great. Yeah. It's zeninamoment.com. It's my blog. I have lots of videos and things there. You can do the exercise again, and I have a free, amazing training called Activate Your IGS. Sign up on my
list,
and you'll be going right along into your IGS in no time at all.
Excellent. Zen, best of luck. You don't need it, though. Just keep following your IGS.
<That's>
Bye.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Zen. All right, everybody. Don't be smart. Don't be clever. Just be true. Just be honest. It's enough. I may be taking next week off. I don't know. I might book someone. I can't tell. In the meantime, just follow what feels best. You really can't go wrong.